Today's New Testament reading is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 19th chapter. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place that is called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." This is the word of the Lord. For today's meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Thomas Eves from St. John's Lutheran Church in Barnesville, Minnesota.
In looking at today's text, we find the idea of authority, both divine and human authority. Authority is something that's been around for a long time, and in this particular text, we find Jesus in the final hours and the last few days of his life before he is crucified or at his crucifixion, and then, of course, just a few days before Easter Sunday when he is raised up and the tomb is left empty. The idea of authority is driven home as we look at these texts, especially in verse 10 I'm drawn to, where Pilate says to Jesus, or asks Jesus, "You will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answers him in verse 11 and says, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." Jesus is telling Pilate that, yes, you have authority, but the true authority comes from my Father, the Heavenly Father, who has created all of us. And it reminds me of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, where Paul says to the Romans and to us, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. Jesus is dealing with this idea of authority, and too many times we as people find ourselves in similar situations, facing trials and tribulations and feeling like the government or authorities are unfair and unjust to us. Jesus stands his ground because he is innocent and also because the true authority is in God the Father. We as human beings, as I said, find this in our lives, and soon, in just a few months, we will go to the polls to elect new leaders in our country, new authority figures. And of course, the one position that's on most people's minds is the position of President of the United States. Many are concerned, Christians and unbelievers alike, that the ones who will be on the ticket have very few, if any, characteristics that we want to see in a leader in an authority position. And so it causes concern, sometimes worry, sometimes thoughts that maybe God is not in control or maybe he's not taking care of us. This could not be further from the truth. We know from God's word, both through Jesus and both through the Spirit and the Apostle Paul, that God has allowed these governments to be in place. They cannot be in place without his approval or his authority. And so therefore, the positions and the people that are in them are there because God has ordained it. And so just as all things in life, we should put our faith and our trust in our God who keeps his promises to us, that he watches over us and cares for us. There are many instances in the Bible where evil governments, bad governments, have been in play, and God has used them to not only carry out his will, but to bring glory to him. And so as Christians, we find this reminder of the authority of God the Father. We find it in our absolution when we hear that our sins are forgiven and we are washed clean. We find it in the waters of holy baptism, where we are reminded that it is the authority of God the Father through the Son and through the Holy Spirit that we are saved and forgiven because of the faith that we receive. We also find it in Holy Communion when we receive the body and the blood in with and under the bread and the wine. We're reminded of the authority of Jesus Christ, who willingly gave his body and his blood for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And so as we lead the sanctified lives we're called to lead, we, through our actions and through our words, demonstrate to the world around us, not only believers but unbelievers as well, that we do not fear men or governments or the things of this world. We put our trust and our faith and our confidence in the one true God, the Father who created us, his Son Jesus Christ who redeemed us on the cross, and the Holy Spirit who calls us into this world. So turn your fears over to the Lord, subject yourself to God the Father, and also subject yourself to the local government, understanding that God is in charge, and he calls the final shots. Amen.
We thank Pastor Thomas Eaves from St. John's Lutheran Church in Barnesville, Minnesota, for today's meditation on God's Word.